27th meeting of the Marine Resources Commission is now reconvened after lunch. Let the record reflect, it is now 1:50. We are on agenda item number 6 of 16. Please commiserate with us.
Good afternoon.
Mr. Eversole.
Before I get started, the reason we're before you today with this proposal is because it's the modification is protested by an oyster leaseholder, Ms. Mary Hill. She called me late yesterday afternoon and said she could not be here today, but she sent in a second letter of protest, and I told her I would present that to the commission today.
Thank you, sir.
Colonial Pipeline Company requests authorization to modify an existing permit to allow for the installation by directional bore method of a 14-inch diameter petroleum transmission replacement pipeline in an existing easement a minimum 80 feet beneath a 4,200 linear foot wide section of the Nansemond River in the city of Suffolk. Just for reference, we're in the Nansemond River. Here's Craney Island, the Route 17 bridge. You can see the existing pipeline here that crosses the Nansemond River. And I apologize in advance, there's a lot of history and some moving parts to this, so I'm going to read more than I typically would from the evaluation. The commission granted a permit to Colonial Pipeline in 2005 and again in 2015 to replace or repair petroleum pipeline segments at multiple stream crossings as needed in counties from west of Richmond down to the city of Chesapeake. The project involves the inspection and repair and replacement of CPC's existing Line 27, an underground pipeline that traverses a corridor from their Mitchell Junction facility in western Cumberland County to the Norfolk Delivery Station in Chesapeake. The line's been in existence since the 60s. Pipeline maintenance is required by the Department of Transportation regulations. This regulation requires a periodic assessment of the line and is accomplished by running an internal line inspection tool, commonly referred to as a smart pig, through the line. All anomalies that are detected require inspection, excavation, repair, and replacement or replacement as needed according to specific schedules. When the Commission approved this most recent permit in 2015, it included numerous conditions, two of which are relevant to today's modification request. Number 24 you'll see there, and I'll read it, for any subtitle repairs necessary with crossings 1 through 3, 5, 7 through 10, 12, 14, 16, and 19, the applicant shall first submit detailed project drawings to scale depicting the location of the anomaly, the type of repair proposed, and the construction methodology. And no work may commence in these areas until a permit modification request is considered and approved by the commissioner. And the commissioner may retain his authority to have this presented before the full commission. These are the larger crossings, the Nansemond, the crossing of the James in James City County, the crossing of the Chickahominy River, crossing of the James River in Richmond, the larger crossings that we wanted to have input in. And then Condition 25 covers the royalty which would be charged for any new work, new transmission line. In early 2016, Colonial Pipeline notified staff that an anomaly had been detected in a section of the pipe that runs beneath the Nansemond River. So we began discussions with CPC and the Corps of Engineers and Corps Blue Ecology, that's Colonial Pipeline's agent, to discuss a developing plan to abandon this line in place and to to install a replacement pipeline segment in the same easement beneath the Nansemond. You can see in this drawing here, here's the existing pipeline, and the anomaly was located right in the middle of the Nansemond River. In August of 2016, Colonial Pipeline requested a modification of this permit to allow for four soil borings in the Nansemond River to provide geotechnical information needed to develop their plans for a replacement by directional bore method. Two oyster leaseholders who held the leases where the borings would be conducted were notified, and they had no objection to the protest or to the project. So accordingly, staff administratively approved that modification and allowed the borings to proceed. Colonial Pipeline submitted a modification request with detailed plans in March of 2017, requesting authorization to install the replacement pipe by directional bore method within their existing easement beneath the Nanzaman. Staff notified all holders of leased oyster grounds within the alignment of the new pipeline, and by email dated May 15, Ms. Mary Hill registered an objection to the project, voicing concerns over potential damages to her leased oyster ground. The other oyster leaseholders notified us in writing that they had no objection to the project. Colonial Pipeline has been in discussions with Mrs. Hill, and they have reached no agreement, and her objection to the project remains. You can see here are the oyster leases in question, and this middle one right here is Mrs. Hill's, right where the anomaly is. A little closer view, this is Mrs. Hill's lease right here. The proposed inspection and maintenance of Line 27 is required by federal regulation, and Section 28.2-1209 of the Code of Virginia requires all structures encroaching on state-owned submerged land to be maintained or removed. This section also allows public service corporations to abandon cables, conduits, and pipes with prior approval from the Commission. Staff considers the project's approval to be in the Commonwealth's best interest to avoid potential spills in tidal wetlands and or state-owned submerged lands. Colonial Pipelines developed a plan to clean out, cap at both ends, and abandon in place the existing submerged pipeline segment, and to install a replacement segment by directional bore, which is the most environmentally friendly and preferred method available. This is a drawing showing the existing easement, and the pipeline, the new pipeline segment will be placed in that same easement. These drawings didn't come through on the slides too well, so I've added some detail. You can see we're going from east to west. The bore pit for the directional bore will be located in uplands. The pipeline will be bored beneath the uplands at 125 feet beneath the surface of the land. As it goes under Willis Cove, the depth under the bottom of the cove is 103 feet. The pipeline will be 103 feet beneath the bottom of the cove. Continuing west, the pipeline will be 106 feet beneath Willis Cove and beneath Willis Island as it continues west. Pipeline will be at 105 feet, roughly, between Willis, underneath Willis Island, and as we get into the Nanzaman River, it remains at about 100 feet below ground, below the bottom of the river. Here we're in the middle of the river. Mrs. Hill's lease is right about here, and the pipeline is to be 83 feet beneath the bottom of the river, and 78 feet as that comes back up onto land and to the other bore pit, which is on uplands. Colonial Pipeline and their contractors have developed a detailed plan to address any potential releases of drilling fluid during the boring operation. This plan will be attached to and become a part of the permit. The boring operation will begin and end in uplands, and that construction will be in conformance with the Virginia Erosion Sediment Control Laws. The City of Suffolk Wetland Board has been contacted, and they have briefed their board, and they agree that there are no tidal wetlands involved and that the pipeline can proceed. Staff understands Ms. Hill's concern that potential accidents could occur during the directional bore installation process, and that potential damages could occur to her leased oyster ground as a result of such an accident. In this instance, staff believes it is important to note that the applicant is proposing to conduct proactive efforts to remove from operation an aging submerged liquid petroleum pipeline before any damage to state-owned submerged lands or tidal and wetlands could occur. Accordingly, after evaluating the merits of the project against the concerns expressed by those in opposition, and after considering all factors contained in Section 28.2-1205 of the Code of Virginia. Staff recommends approval of the modification with the assessment of a royalty in the amount of $12,600 for encroachment beneath 4,200 linear feet of the Nansemond River. I'll be glad to answer and answer any questions you have. Colonial Pipeline and their agent are here today if you have any questions for them.
Any questions from the commission?
Yes.
Mr. Tankard.
Did Mrs. Hill ever elaborate on any reason why she didn't want to agree to having the pipeline go underneath her?
I talked to her several times on the phone, and her first letter of opposition stated that she was afraid of potential damages and actual possible damages that had already occurred to her. And we discussed directional bore, and she was just never quite comfortable with the idea.
Is this a productive oyster ground?
I contacted fisheries. She worked the ground in 2013, but other than that, in the last 10 years, that's the only year it's been worked.
Thank you.
That we have records of it being worked.
You good? Mm-hmm. Any other questions from the commission? Mr. Zietner.
Maybe I'm missing something. I mean, how would putting that line underneath there affect her oyster ground?
It would not. You know, she could, in fact, she could work her oyster grounds the entire time the work's being done.
That's why
it would be 80 feet beneath her.
Right. Okay.
And as long as there's no, you know, no problem with the construction, then she'll never know it's there.
That's what I thought. Thank you.
Any other questions from the commission? Is the applicant present or represented? If someone wants to come forward just for a minute, that'd be great. Let me swear you in. Raise your right hand. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth's help you got? Please state your name for the record.
Mr. Chip Little, Colonial Pipeline Company.
Say it into the mic.
Chip Little with Colonial Pipeline Company. I'm here today with my colleague Terry Mock, who is Director of Land Management Services, as well as Shana Cahill with Core Blue Environmental, just here to answer any questions that the commission might have.
Okay. Is there anything else that we need to know? Any questions from the commission? Mr. Packard?
So how do you cap off something like the pipeline that will no longer be used? And how is that going to take place?
Please raise your right hand. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? It's the lightning round.
I do.
State your name for the record.
My name is Terry Mock. So what we'll do in the upland areas, we will excavate the pipe. We will cut it. We will first displace the product that's in the pipeline through a nitrogen displacement. So we'll put spheres in the pipe. We'll put nitrogen in behind it. It will displace the petroleum that's in it. We'll clean that section, and then we will pump grout into the pipeline until we get a return of grout on the other side, and then we'll weld a cap on both ends. So it'll be displaced a product, and then the void will be filled with the grout.
Okay. Mr. Neal.
The reference to an anomaly, what does that mean? Does that mean leak?
No, so we're, as it was mentioned, we're regulated by the U.S. Department of Transportation under 49 Part 195 of the Federal Registry. And so under those DOT requirements, we have to run internal inspection tools through the line periodically, and it'd be like a CAT scan or an MRI. So it has picked up an anomaly that under those regulations, it requires us to physically inspect and then either repair or replace if needed. And so because of we could use divers. When this pipe was put in 1963, it was done with the clamshell method. So we dredged a ditch through the tidal marsh and then through the river channel, floated the pipe out into the river, and then sunk it down to the bottom, got it into its alignment, and then let the tidal muds basically cover it back over. So that was the method at that point in time. And the leaseholders at the time we installed it, we reached agreements with those oystermen. I don't know the exact date, but the oyster lease that Ms. Hill has was not created until I think in the 2000 time frame.
That's right.
So that lease was created after the installation of this existing asset. So we could have used divers. We could have jetted, you know, dredged and jetted away. But that would have been a disturbance not only to the oyster beds, but the turbidity that it would have caused. So, again, we looked at this from an engineering perspective, and we're choosing to just replace this whole crossing.
Any other questions from the commission?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Is there anybody in the audience who wishes to be heard on this matter, either pro or con? It's a public hearing. Public has a right. Anybody? Seeing none, the public hearing is closed. The matter is before the commission for discussion and action. Ms. Erskine.
I recognize that Ms. Hill has a concern over oyster ground, but I would suggest that she didn't really detail what that concern, you know, was. And at the depths underneath the oyster ground, I don't see an immediate impact, and it's been maybe productive in the past. But at this point, I'd make a motion to accept staff recommendation to approve the project.
Not second.
Motion by Mr. Erskine, second by Mr. Minor, accept staff recommendation and approve the project. Any discussion? We'll call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye as well. Motion passes unanimously. Project is approved.
Thank you.
Thank you.